Thank you very much. Good morning, church. Jason has put a lot of pressure on my head. A modern day Philip? My word. How are we? And more importantly, how are our prayer lives? Are we encouraged in our prayers? Unbelievably, we're already at the end of the month. It's absolutely flying by. But hands up if you feel like your prayer life has been better than this time last year. Hands up. So, what, a quarter of us? Yeah. About half of us? Yeah, okay. Amen. Well, you know, I started to think about my sermon on the 17th of January, which according to some reports was officially the worst day of the year. Apparently, around that sort of time, we start to receive the council tax bills, credit card bills. It's cold, miserable, and around that time of month, people aren't that happy, apparently. And as if to prove it, it was also raining and cold and dark, absolutely. But the thing about rain is this: if you're at home in bed and you hear it raining outside, you think, oh, it's beautiful, I'm warm, I'm cozy, I'm fired up. If you're outside, it's not that encouraging. And I think at times our prayer lives are exactly like that. You might have had some great prayers, some great experiences, and thought, oh, prayer is awesome. Or you might feel like, Lord, I'm in the rain, I'm struggling, and my prayer life is also struggling. Whatever your experience has been so far, I do pray that the rest of this year can be filled with many victories through our prayer. Amen? Before we get into it, let's pray. Dear God, truly you are mighty. Father, you are holy, powerful, and yet, Lord, full of love and grace. And Lord, we pray that in our walk with you, that we always lift you up, Father, to the highest place. Lord, that our Christian lives are all about you. Lord, may we not count on our own strength, Lord, but always look to you as we strive, Lord, to do your will. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may hear you, Father, as you speak, and always, always, Lord, do things to your glory. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I started to write this sermon last week, and I had a challenge from my wife, my lovely spiritual wife. She said, honey, I've got a challenge. And I thought, might be sleeping on the couch or something, you know what I mean? She said, honey, I've got a challenge. I was like, okay. And she said, before you write anything, pray for an hour every day this week, and then start writing it on Friday night. And I was like, okay, you know, because, I mean, all the time I have been, you know, saying to people that my prayer this year is that I am less and less, and the Lord is more and more. And she said, well, put it into practice then. Don't write a word. Pray an hour a day. Pray that the Lord puts the message on your heart and then write it out on Friday. If you're anything like me, you like to have things in order early, right? You like to have all the points written out, typed out, all set, all done. And I was thinking, Friday night, this is a challenge. But I took it on, and I prayed an hour a day that this sermon is not what I preach, but is what the Lord puts on my heart. And I think, you know, if we want to make God bigger in our lives, we sometimes have to reflect on who He truly is. You know, we exist in a time where there are iPhones and iPods and aeroplanes and cars, and you know, it's harder and harder now to actually impress people because we are surrounded by so many things. But sometimes we need to be still and reflect on who God truly is. I'd like to share a few things that really bring home to me who we pray to. Amen? Let's start with the small stuff. That there is a frog. A tiny frog. Last year on ABC, there was a show called Life in Cold Blood. It was fantastic. It was all about, you know, snakes and frogs and everything I hate, right? But the actual show was absolutely amazing. And they showed a frog that is actually smaller than this here. It can actually fit on the fingernail of your pinky, right? That in itself is amazing. However, what's truly incredible is that this frog is completely waterproof. It cannot get wet. It's so small that when it rains, right, there is a danger that it will be swept off, right? But because of its skin, it actually cannot get wet. It actually walks on the rain drops. And I saw this thing and I was like, that's a frog. This tiny frog. And it says, you know, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? A tiny frog. The Lord looks out for a tiny frog. How about you? I'm trying to get my slides to work. Oh, fine. It does work. Amen. Fantastic. This is our planetary system. And you see the sun there, right? You see the Earth, the sun, and there are nine planets in there, right? And the incredible thing about it is that no one truly knows how big the universe is, because we just cannot measure it. It's massive, it's vast, it's huge. After the sun, the next closest star would take 70,000 years to travel to in our fastest spaceship. 70,000 years to the next closest sun, star, even. And Hebrews, it says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So what was seen was not made out of what was visible. God spoke it, and it happened. 70,000 years to the next closest star, God just spoke it. There are approximately 6.8 billion people on our planet, and it continues to grow at a rate of about 83 million people a year. That's a lot of people. Black, white, Asian, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, shapes and sizes, tall, short, handsome, not so handsome. You know, all sorts of people. 6.8 billion people on the planet. And yet, God has the ability to hear every single person, to know how every single person feels, to know what every single person prays, every single person. And it blows my mind that, you know, if say, me and Roger are praying at the same time, the Lord hears each of us individually. But how about 6.8 billion people? In Acts 17, 24 onwards, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples made by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And then this is the part that really blows my mind. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from any of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. God worked it out for 6.8 billion people to be exactly where they had to be so that perhaps they would reach out and find him. I mean, just absolutely incredible. But you might be asking now, what's my point? Why, you know, the frogs and the planets and the 6.8 billion people? Well, it's simply this. It's all about God. Amen? My prayer is that we start to see the world with spiritual eyes. And I'm not at all preaching that we don't work hard and strive. But I'm saying it's not about us. There's only so much we can do. It's all about God. Amen? As my wife will gladly, you know, say or share, I'm constantly locking myself out of my car. My car is a bit old school, right? And so to close it, you need to come out, push it in, lift up the handle, and close it. Unfortunately, what could happen is that there are times that you actually forget a key in the car itself. And on one particular afternoon, it was a Saturday afternoon, and we had ordered some food, a takeaway. And I said, honey, you stay home, I'll pop out, pick it up, and come back, right? I'm fired up. I'm serving her, you know? I jump in my car, radio on. It's awesome. I'm driving. I get to the takeaway, hop out, close my door, and then it hit me. Did I take my key out? And it happens that you're almost afraid then to look in the car, right? I'm kind of thinking, I might have done. And you just sort of take a quick look and you just think, oh Lord, I did, right? And you're stuck outside your car and you're thinking, oh my goodness, no spare key. And so it's a case of, okay, now what to do? What to do, you know? I look left, I look right, I was just like trying to, you know, kind of thing, ring a friend, take a bus home, a brick, possibly, yes. I felt it, I was just so, you know, angry. I walked down to a barbershop and I said, look, you know, here's a thing, I've locked myself up. Have you got a hanger that I could borrow just to try and uncoil? You know what I mean? It's like push it in my car and try and hook out my key. And they're like, yeah, fine, here, you know, so take it. And so this is a Saturday afternoon on a high street, right? And so I'm standing by my car, just sort of sheepishly uncoiling this anger, thinking, this will look really bad. I mean, this would just look terrible. And so I'm coiled it, sort of explaining to people as they walk past, it's my car, it's my car, you know, it's my car. I promise you, it's my car. A person drove past, honked his horn, went, thief, thief! Like, no, it's my car, really, it's my car, right? And so, I'm standing there for like half an hour, trying to pull the door, hanger inside it, right? Just trying to hook out my key. And, amen, I'm a Christian, right? But I have to say, some of the thoughts I had in my head were not very spiritual at that point, right? Cursing my car, cursing my hanger, just all sorts of things. I was like, Lord, you know, this is not happening. But it was. And then, Anne from nowhere just came up to me and said, are you okay here? You know, I was like, yeah, you know, here's the thing. I've locked the keys in my car. I was like, oh, really? Well, let me, you know, try and help you out here. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, please, please. So He was like standing there holding the door open with two hands, just like pulling it, right? I was like, easy, you know, I can't afford it. Just slowly pull it, mate, you know. So he's like holding it. I'm trying to hook my key out, still explaining to people that being fast is my car. We tried everything. I mean, we took out the hanger, recoiled it, changed the hook on it. I mean, just all sorts of things, right? We just could not get this key out. Called the AA after that, all right? After that, I called the AA. The AA, after an hour, hadn't turned up. Meanwhile, this nice man who had stopped to help me out said, you know what, mate, I've got like plans. Hopefully at some point you'll open it. I was like, yeah, mate, cheers, you know what I mean? So eventually I took a bus home, got my spare key, came back, picked up my car, still cursing in my head, right? Picked up the takeaway. So this was a 2.5 hour takeaway. You know, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm frustrated. I got home, I told my wife the story. And my wife, you know, being the spiritual one, as always, said, did you reach out to the man who helped you? I've just spent 2.5 hours trying to pick up my car, and she's asking me, did I reach out to... No, honey, I didn't reach out to the man who helped me. But what's my point? We need to look at things with spiritual eyes. Who says that the Lord didn't plan it that I got locked out of my car just to reach out to this man who stopped? Since that point, I've been praying, Lord, let me meet him again just so that I can ask his name. I didn't even ask his name. I was so focused on my key, I didn't even ask his name. But we need to look at things with spiritual eyes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But, you know, this is not just a challenge that we have. Our brothers and sisters of old had the same problem. Even Samuel, the prophet, had the same problem. And if we look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, the story was God had sent Samuel to anoint David as king. And so he sent him to David's father's house. And he said, I will show you the person I have anointed. Alright? So Samuel, he turns up. And they said, have you come in peace? And it says, Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This is Samuel, God's chosen prophet. And the Lord says, go and anoint a king at David's father's house. And the first son he sees, he thinks, aha, this is the king. And you think, why? Surely he came in holding some scripture or a Bible. Or maybe he had been out in prayer. And so, you know, he came in and just had like this, like a spiritual appearance or something, right? No, he had height. Samuel, he saw him and thought, wow, he's tall. Surely this is the man. Samuel, God's prophet, was going to anoint Israel's new king based on height. Excuse me? I mean, you know, but as people, we do that. We see the outward appearance and immediately think, ah, this guy is spiritual. This guy is unspiritual. The Lord said, do not consider his height or his appearance. You know, I thought if we here in the South were hiring a new member of staff, you know, and, you know, Roger, Mark, Jason, and Franklin, and the rest, sort of, you know, interviewed people. And then they came up here and said, brothers and sisters, we have found a new minister for the South. And we're all fired up and we think, amen, you know, this is it. And then Roger says, and we know this because he's handsome and he's tall. I mean, we would be absolutely stunned. We'd be completely stunned. But this is what Samuel did. He was handsome and tall. Therefore, he must be spiritual. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because our brothers and sisters in the first church also had the same struggles. And Paul had to preach about it. Paul had to, you know, make sure that they were looking at things with spiritual eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1, it reads, by meekness and gentleness of Christ I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We take away arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. And then he says, you are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority that the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to be seen to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. This is the Apostle Paul. Now, I've heard some preachers preach that, you know, if you saw Paul in a crowd, he would stand out because he's Paul. You know, he's fired up, rah, 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 I'm Paul, right? To be honest with you, I don't know. Because here, he feels compelled to write about it. People were saying Paul is impressive in how he writes, but in person, he's not really all that. He's not handsome and tall. You know what I mean? He's not all that. And Paul says, well, that's the whole point. It's not about me. The authority I have is from Christ. In person, I may not be that impressive, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that I do things on the authority of Christ. And I pray that we look at things with spiritual eyes, that we make spiritual judgments, not based on the outward things, not on things that we can see, not on flesh and blood, but on spiritual things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I said that my spiritual wife challenged me to preach, to pray an hour a day. And this is the passage that really inspired her. If we can turn to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 6. And that whole passage, you know, he talks about, where are we? Ephesians 6, where are we? 18 to 20. In that whole passage, you know, he talks about the armor of God, you know, and he talks about that, you know, we do not fight against flesh and blood. And he says, put on the armor. And then in verse 18, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Amen? Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. He actually says all occasions. It's almost like Paul says, never stop praying. Pray all the time. And he also says, pray in the Spirit. I think that we need to be praying to be in tune with God's Spirit. You know, we, as a church, our aim this year is to be like the book of Acts. And in Acts, you see the Holy Spirit moving constantly, working constantly. Let's pray that we are in tune with that Spirit. And let's pray on all occasions. So, brothers, if you're having problems in your marriage, what should you do? Pray. Sisters, if your husband is not like repenting of something, what should you do?
Pray.
If you're having problems at work, what should you do? If you're having problems with your kids, what should you do? Pray. Pray on all occasions. And then, he says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With all kinds of prayers and requests. Prayer doesn't have to be in a darkened room. You can pray anywhere. You can pray by singing to God. You can write prayers to God. He says, with all kinds of prayers. Don't be held back in your worship. And then he says, with all kinds of requests. Is anything too small to pray about? Is anything too big to pray about? We've got permission from the scriptures to pray about anything we want to pray about. It says with all kinds of requests. If you're weighed down with something, pray about it. If you're happy about something, pray about it. If you need something, pray about it. Pray on all occasions. In fact, if I'm truthful, my whole message is pray. Keep praying and then pray some more. Because the more we pray, the less it becomes about us, the more it becomes about God. Amen? Prayer is an ordinary activity that leads to extraordinary things. With prayer, Israel were set free from captivity. With prayer, Elijah called down fire from heaven. With prayer, many people have made Jesus Lord. With prayer, whole families have been changed. Marriages have been saved with prayer. Lives have been prolonged with prayer. None of us can claim to do these things by ourselves, but with prayer, it's possible. Prayer is an ordinary activity that leads to extraordinary things. Amen? How are we doing for time? Amen. Pray for the saints. Ephesians 6, 18. And pray in the Spirit again on all occasions. And I'll say that part again. On all occasions. With all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the saints. I think we all have in our heads what type of church we'd like the South to be. You know, I mean, I'm talking about things like baptisms and love and friendship and just all the, you know, all the thoughts and hopes that you might have for this church. Pray about it. Paul encourages us, you know, pray for your brothers and sisters. If you want a fantastic church, don't complain about it. Pray about it. Amen? And then he says, pray for me as well. Pray for the leaders, that primarily that they may preach the word boldly, that they don't hold back that they preach from the heart. They preach what the Lord puts on their hearts. And Paul says that I may preach fearlessly. You know, pray that the leadership are not afraid to challenge us. When there is a sin, pray that we can be challenged. Put it, pray that the Lord puts it on their hearts. Let's go to one scripture, just to really show you the importance of praying for the leadership. Let's go to the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. Starting in verse 1, while Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices. So the men of Israel were being sexually immoral. And then in verse 4, it says, the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of these people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. Now you read it and you think, that's slightly, harsh, slightly unfair, all right? The men of Israel were being sexually immoral. And the Lord says, bring out the leaders and slaughter them. Amen. And then in verse 6, it reads, then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were crying at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas or something, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this. He left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, through the Israelites and into the woman's body. Conviction. He saw this and he thought, this cannot happen. So he takes a spear and kills them both. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped. He basically saved the leadership, because he had conviction on sin. Our leaders are not perfect. Pray for them. Pray that their hearts may stay pure. Pray that they may challenge us on sin. And pray that they may preach the word fearlessly. Amen? You know, to conclude, it's all about God. God is absolutely amazing. He can do much, much, much more than we can ever imagine or hope for. We cannot do it on our own strength. We're not meant to do it on our own strength. But let's make it about God. And may our lives glorify Him as we pray continuously. Amen.